We're doing the Doshot HaRan, and the Ran had been developing the following idea. He said that there is a depth that transcends what we see, and on that level, if a person connects to Hashem, so then even the seemingly mundane things that he does are really acts in the service of Hashem. And this is something which the masses err in, because when they see the pious dealing with worldly mundane things, so they think, oh, you see, big deal, I could also be a shepherd. The forefathers were shepherds. And they don't realize that when the forefathers were shepherds, they were doing something far beyond than just being with the sheep. And when a big tzaddik does something that seems mundane, so then he's doing something way beyond it because of what his intent is. Two people could be sitting in a room eating the same chont on Shabbos. One person is thinking about his stomach, and the other person is thinking about Shabbos and their Ribbono Shel Olam. Are they doing the same act physically? It seems like they're doing the same thing. But there's something very different about what's happening here. You could have the classical example is the example the Talmud tells us about the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. Yesh ma'achil et aviv pizyuni. You have a person, you have two types of people. You have one guy who feeds his father the greatest meats. He gives him the most fantastic wines, yet he doesn't do Kibud Av V'Em because his attitude is, old man, just finish what you have to eat and on with life. And then you have a person who makes his father work, and he gives his father hard, dry bread, but his whole intent is to keep his father healthy, and he thinks, what's best for my father? We have right here a few buildings from our yeshiva. We have a woman who's a widow. Her husband passed away a few weeks ago, and her son said to me how he keeps on making his mother work, because if he doesn't, she's going to become an old woman and lose her, her mind's going to go rotten. She sits at home, doesn't know what to do with her time. So he calls her up and he says, Imam, I'm coming tonight. I need you to make me scrambled eggs. Go out and buy some eggs. And I want them with cinnamon and I want them with cheese and I want them with vegetables and I want you to go out and buy them and I want you to get me some onions. And he makes his mother work, but now she has something to live for. So he makes her work, but he's doing it for her. I'm sure he enjoys the scrambled eggs when he eats them. But he's making her work for her sake. So you have another son who calls up his mother. His mother has a lot on her head. And he says, Mom, I'm going to be in town tonight. I want the scrambled eggs. You know how to make best. They could say the same words, but where's the intent? So the Drasha Saran says there's something much deeper than our actions. Our intent can change our actions, even though on the surface, when the average person looks at the tzaddik, he thinks he's just doing something very simple. But if you see beyond that, if you see where he is spiritually, you realize that what he's doing is not so simple. Uma me'od dome laze ma she'sha'al avokrat besifro hanagat. I don't know if it's hamidot or hachedvot. Two different versions here. So there's this book of medicine in which there was a Greek doctor who lived about 2,500 years ago, whose name was Abokrat, and he asked the following: Lama lo yakiru hehamon leavin harofe hatov uben hara? How come the masses cannot discern between a good doctor and a bad doctor? Veheshiv bazeh, and he answered, because the good doctor and bad doctor, they both prescribe. They both seem to be doing the same thing. Because just like the good doctor deals with potions and lotions and powders and medicines, so too the foolish doctor, mitasek ba'otam advarim ba'atzman. He deals with the same thing. He also pulls out a potion and a lotion and a cream and a powder and a medicine. Ela sha'ofeh ha'chacham oseh bekavanah v'davar be'ito, but the intelligent doctor, he does things with reason. He does things in their proper time. V'asachal b'li kavanah v'lo ito, but the fool, he doesn't do it with reason. He doesn't do things in their proper time. Ken inyanei ha'mitzvot v'inyanim ha'emoniim b'shaveh. That is the same, that same concept applies to the mitzvos and everything you do in this world. Hachasid v'amoni mitasek b'em. You have two people. They both deal with the same thing. Two people are standing in line in the store. They're both buying food. Achatovim kol inyanam avodah shlema mipnei hakavana shlema b'em. But good people, so in so doing, they're doing good work before Hashem because they have correct intent. And then other people, even when they're serving Hashem, their service of Hashem isn't whole. Forget when they're standing in line in the store, when they're standing in Shmona Esrei. Because the essence of mitzvot is, where is your heart while you perform the mitzvot? Of course we're responsible for 613, but we're responsible to do it with the correct intent. If I'm shuckling so that the guy behind me thinks I have kavana, then obviously there's a problem. This same concept applies to sins as well. Because a person's thoughts are more difficult than the sin itself. And I think this is pshat, what the Gemara says in Yuma, Hirurei Avera Kashim Me'Avera. Thoughts of sin are worse than sin. Thoughts of sin are worse than sin. So, there's this new concept I learned about recently. I'm scared of saying the words, but we'll say it slightly more gently. And those of you who know what I'm talking about, you'll fill in the blanks. So, everyone knows there's intimacy, but there's this new concept of cyber intimacy. You guys know what I'm talking about? I didn't know this thing existed. So people go online and then they start having these conversations as though they are actually sinning together. So you think at first glance you say it's vulgar, it's terrible, but it's much worse than that. The Talmud tells us, Hirurei avera kashim me'avera. Thoughts of sin are more difficult than the sin itself. You have a person who doesn't realize, the Talmud tells us a guy thinks it's his wife, he gets into bed, he ends up sleeping with his sister. So you say the woman got pregnant, the child that's born is a bastard, terrible thing happened. But he didn't mean to sin. He got confused. There were real stories like that. That's why there's a custom that people don't, there's a whole story about that, that people don't marry with a woman who has the same name as his mother, or a husband that has the same name as the father-in-law. We don't really have that custom, but we live in a generation where people think that if you do something that doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, then you're more pious. But at any rate, there were things that happened. There were times that people made mistakes. But what are you going to say? So the act is terrible, and the product is terrible, and the kid is still a bastard. But the guy didn't mean to do anything wrong. Then you have a person who's sitting there thinking all the improper things in the world. So this idea ordinarily is attributed to the Nefesh HaChaim. Rav Chaim of Volozhin, in his book Nefesh HaChaim, the disciple of the Gra, he wrote a Kabbalistic book called Nefesh HaChaim. And in the Nefesh HaChaim, he describes how much impact our thoughts have in the world. And he says, if you think about it, a person sins with his hands, that's a pretty coarse sin. He's using a pretty coarse tool, and he impacts on a pretty coarse level. Whereas when a person uses his intellect, when a person thinks about sin, so then his mind is really connected up above. And with his mind, so then he goes so far as to say that when Nebuchadnezzar took a prostitute and spread her out over the altar, he was doing something physical. But a Jew, in his mind, he's affecting something spiritual. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't affect the spirit with his physical act, and a Jew who sits there and thinks improper thoughts is affecting much more than Nebuchadnezzar. That's what the Gemara says he did, yeah. Okay. Titus did that. Does it say that about Nebuchadnezzar? 1 second. You're right. It says it about Titus. Does it also say it about Nebuchadnezzar? I don't remember. You're right. It says the Gemara says it about Titus. Does the Gemara also say it about Nebuchadnezzar? I don't remember. I don't know. I said Nebuchadnezzar. I should have said Titus. I don't remember if it says it about Nebuchadnezzar. So personally, when I get to that section of the Nefesh HaChaim, I have a very hard time continuing with the Nefesh HaChaim. Because at the end of the day, we're all human, and it's very hard to maintain proper thoughts. But we still have to remember the essence of what the Drash Naran is saying here. It's not a Hasidic concept, it's not a Kabbalistic concept, it's a concept that you see here in the Ran. You see here, and the Ran has been proving it for the last few pages from the different Gemaros, including this Gemara. And even though Maimonides explained it nicely in his work, The Guide to the Perplexed, this goes along the lines of the Nefesh HaChaim, that when a person rebels with his mind, he's using the more refined tool that a person has in rebellion. Whereas when a person sins physically, he's only using the mundane to sin. Oh, so obviously if he's also thinking, then he has both, right? But nonetheless, I have room to introduce some new concepts in this, and that's, okay, he's now going to touch on what you just said. We could pause here, or we could continue for another 10 minutes and finish the thought itself. We'll continue here next week. Let's get to the Ramban and other things. So we started this thought, and we'll pick up here Bezrat Hashem next week.